Audiobooks.com.
Awesome.
Drew, remember when you wanted me to read Moby Dick and you got me like 19 cassettes?
Yes.
In an attaché case?
Yes, in a whole, you didn't listen to one of them.
It's too big a hassle.
It's a hassle, that's right.
Now there's audiobooks.com. Yeah, you can listen instantly anywhere. You download the audiobook app and boom, audiobooks.com.
No downtime. You never have to have any downtime. No. You can always use your time productively.
Apple, your Android, you can stream that book, baby. And you can use your computer, your tablet, whatever you like. 50,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers, new releases, classics, like Moby Dick.
Remember why I got you Moby Dick? Do you remember why?
Queequeg?
No. Clive Barker said it was his favorite book of all time.
You sound like Clive Barker now.
I know. Well, a little bit.
Yeah.
And you said, I got to read that. I said, I'm going to get you the audio because I knew you wouldn't read it.
Wow.
And now you don't ever have to worry about reading
that. That's right. Audiobooks.com/Drew. That's audiobooks. They got a preview. You can save 33%. They got a great deal for you. Go to audiobooks.com/Drew. Get your first book free. Again, that's audiobooks.com/Drew.
This is Corolla Digital.
Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. Thank you in advance for telling a friend and enjoy the show.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, man. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Dr. Drew, man, I'm so glad you're here, man.
Why? You sound bright and cheerful.
I had a question for you.
Oh, okay, please.
First, everybody, Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, that is Thursday, March 27th, the Legal Defense Fund benefit. Kimmel's going to be there. Drew's going to be there. Kevin and Bean are going to be there. Mark Maron's going to be there. Andy Summers from The Police are going to be there. And Doug Benson, it's a big jam fest, baby. Comedy
cool.
And music,
yeah.
And all that. It's all going to the cause. So grab a ticket and come out and press the flesh, man.
Can I stop you?
Mm-hmm.
It says on the wall there that you're accepting Bitcoin donations.
Oh, yeah, Bitcoin.
What the fuck? It could be worth a half a penny or it could be worth $1,000.
Don't know. Just read what they tell me to read.
All right, fair enough. Fascinating. I'm very, very interested.
And, of course, help us fight the patent trolls at fundanything.com/patent troll. We're up to $140,000.
That's nice.
Which is nice, and it's all going to fight the patent trolls.
That'll be about, what, one day worth of attorney's fees? The way it's going? Jesus Christ.
All right.
I'm mad about that. On your behalf, I'm outraged. Seriously.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Thank you.
I mean, you're just a guy trying to make a living. And how many legal encumbrance? What the fuck?
Yeah. Very sad. All right. Drew.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Yeah.
As a doctor.
Yeah.
As an addiction medicine specialist.
All right.
So I'm sitting at brunch. Well, breakfast. Breakfast for the Carollas is about 1:30 in the afternoon.
So it's brunch for the rest of La Cañada or the town?
Might be lunch
okay.
for everyone else.
All right.
Everyone else is getting a Diablo sandwich. We're getting eggs.
What determines it is what day of the week it is. Is it Sunday?
Well, it can never – I think it was Sunday, yeah. But it can never be any day but a weekend, at least for me.
Right.
And even then, it's a little spotty. But
yeah.
It's breakfast.
All right.
And we're sitting there eating breakfast, and I'm looking at a table. The place is packed. And I'm – first this couple, first this guy, first this girl. We've talked about this. Even though you want these people hung from the streetlights,
yeah.
You know, when you're in charge,
yeah.
At this point, secretly, wildly envious.
Okay,
it's a popular diner, and it's packed, and the parking lot is packed.
Yeah.
There's just nothing. There's no place to park. There's more people than there are parking spaces. There's probably a 20-minute wait to get in there and eat, And I do my second lap, and I come upon the 30-year-old dude who's walking to his car with his gal pal and what looks like a group of five or six. The group of five or six sort of split off a little bit, and now it's just the gal pal and the car and then the dude. And I stop my car, and it's even a little downhill grade, and they just see me stop there.
So you're following to get his spot when he pulls out.
Yeah, it's actually her spot when she pulls out. Right. And then they're just engaged in a conversation by the trunk.
Oh.
And that fucking conversation doesn't fucking end. And then there's even a part where he does a fake move. He starts walking toward his car, and she starts walking toward the driver's side of her car. And then at some point, he doubles back and comes back, and they re-engage by the trunk. And you're standing in a parking lot where there is no spaces. There's just no spaces. It's not that large a lot. Easy to see. It's not like,
and you're probably not the only one waiting. There's probably somebody behind you ready to pull in.
But it's not like, you know, you're at LAX and someone goes, well, look, you can probably go up another level and find some. No, no. This is it. This is it.
Yeah.
And just re-engaged. And just by the trunk. And he's not staring at me, eyeballing me. He's sort of half open to me, like in the movie biz where they'd say cheat open to the camera a little bit, you know. He can kind of see me. He's talking to her. There's nothing going on. I'm just sitting and idling. I'm not doing anything. There's no business of my car. No one's climbing in or climbing out. I'm obviously waiting for their space. There's no other space in there. It's just lengthy conversation.
And here's the part that I can't stand is that I'm uncomfortable because I know I'm holding somebody else up behind me. Forget the fact that this asshole's holding up the entire line and me specifically. I feel bad for what's behind me.
Fucking doubled back to have a conversation with her, and they're just standing by the trunk. And then when that thing finally ends, then it becomes this, you know, she's going to walk around the passenger side once and reposition something. It's the insane. If I'm standing with that person, my thing is let's pull it out into the side street here, and then we can talk all we want. Hit me on my phone. Call me on my phone.
Anything. Let's just get out of here. The people waiting here.
No. Just a long conversation. And it's like,
is it out of itness? Is like they're not even aware of what's around them? They don't give a shit?
I can't figure it out.
Oh, my God.
I can never figure that part out.
Yeah.
I can't figure that part out.
Is it intentional FU to Adam?
You've certainly been in the position where you've been waiting for a parking space to open up in the past, right? So it's not like you're unfamiliar with that feeling of going, I need a parking space. Perhaps it happened to you an hour earlier when you got here to eat. You know what I'm saying?
Reasonably.
Why now have you lost that feeling? And then
did somebody do that to them and they got to pass it along?
It's broad daylight and they're just standing by the trunk of the car having a conversation in a sea of cars, every spot filled.
Is it, again, desperately trying to figure this out? Is it their first romantic interlude and they're sort of caught in each other's gazes?
No,
did it look
was,
like anything
it looked
like that?
Like
or?
Family. It looked like a group of five or six people and four or five were going in one car. And the chick was going solo, but the guy had some business to tend to. I think it's just a simple, and I think there's more and more of this, that's not me waiting in that other car. Like, let me tell you something.
Ugh.
When it comes down to a coin toss, we're all going to, you and I, anybody else, I think most people, we're going to land on ourselves. But when it's 95-5, do you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this. I've had situations where it's like I've been down to the, as I famously told you, Department of Building and Safety in Van Nuys. And they went and pulled up my plot schematic. And it had a big red X on it. And they said, this is a historical landmark. You got to go downtown. You want to pull a permit on this house. You got to head downtown, bucko. And I said, that X, that's because it has that Mulholland wall, has this granite wall around it. Remember my old house?
Yeah, yeah, the parapet.
Those are historical landmarks designated. So it's not the house. It's just the wall. But the plot on the schematic just has an X on it. Now, by the way, of course, if you were any other business, you would have figured out a way to delineate
yes.
a wall from just the house
yes.
in case someone wanted to pull a permit.
It's government, though.
What do they give a fuck? So what? Go down and work it out downtown. You know, that's the whole point. If there's any form of competition or anything at all, you would have figured out a way to make sure that, oh, green mark is for the wall, red mark is for the house, whatever it was. They don't give a shit. That guy just looked at me and he said, you got to go downtown. You got to go get this permit downtown. I mean, I had my checkbook out. He was going to stamp the thing. And he said, go downtown and get them to stamp it. And anyone who knows Van Nuys to downtown is like, and not to mention finding a place to park and then going up to the fourth floor and pulling a bakery ticket, right? That's an afternoon.
Yeah.
So, of course, what I say to the guy, why don't you just call downtown? And when you call downtown, they're going to tell you, because they have the record.
Right.
When you call downtown, the guy's going to pick up the phone, and the guy's going to tell you, oh, that's the wall. And in which case, then we're going to finish our transaction right here, right now.
Will you have to go back to Van Nuys after you get the downtown stamp?
I think it could all be taken care of downtown. But the point is I already waited in line in Van Nuys.
Well, they don't care about your time. Are you kidding?
And I'm ready to go.
Who's that for you, big shot?
So call downtown, have the guy tell you the X is for the wall, and then we'll move ahead. And
why are you so special, man?
Guy said, can't do it.
Your time isn't worth shit. What the hell? My time. I'm a bureaucrat. My time. I'm busy.
Can't do it. So I drove downtown and waited in line, found a place to park, waited in line, blah, blah, blah. First thing out of the guy's mouth, out of a movie, was, well, why didn't he call? Could have just called.
I would have jumped out the window, I think, right then.
Well, now, here's what I'm getting back to. No, I'll tell you what happened.
And by the way, there's no learning curve on that system. There's no way that guy's not going to pick up and call and go, dude, you should have called next time. No. They don't give a shit.
Oh, there is a learning curve.
Oh, good.
You want to know why?
You made sure of it?
I fucking made sure of it.
Good.
Because now, here's my point. Finish the story you guys have heard before. My point is that was a 95-5 situation, meaning 5% his time to go call the guy. And I'm being generous.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a minute and 22 seconds of him picking up the phone versus a four-hour odyssey. In my life, it's not 95. You know, it wouldn't be 1 second to every minute of mine. It'd be 1 second to every 10 minutes of my going through. But he's not going to do it. Just zero. That's what I'm saying. Now, look, when it comes down to a 50-50 thing where it's like, yeah, I could call the guy. That's going to take me 2 hours. Or you could drive over there. That's going to take you 2 hours. By all means, I'll drive over there. But when it's going to take you 3 minutes versus my 3 hours... That's where I'd like a little leeway. That's where I'm at.
Sure.
That's what I'm talking about. As far as the learning curve goes.
This I got to hear.
Well, you know me when I get going.
Yeah. So what happened?
It was out of a movie. Smash cut to a year later. I'm back in Van Nuys. Now I'm pulling a permit for putting a new roof on the house or whatever.
So let me just set the scene fully. So when you have this downtown experience, do you make a mental note? Oh, no, there will be a day of reckoning. Now, I'm not going to run over there right now, but I will not forget.
I will never forget.
Yeah. All right.
Like the Jews.
So now it's a year later. All right.
I'm down there.
So you're waiting for your moment.
I pull up there, showing the plans. Guy pulls out the schematic, looks at the plot, sees the red X, and says, we got a historical landmark here. You got to take care of this downtown.
Same guy?
No. New guy. Different guy as far as I don't recall, but I'm just going to go. I don't remember it being the same guy.
Yeah.
And he said, you got to go downtown and handle this. And I said, no, 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 no goddamn way. You are going to pick that phone up. You're going to call the guy downtown. He's going to tell you that historical landmark is just for the wall, has nothing to do with the roof of the house. Then I'm going to write you this check, and we're going to continue with this transaction. I'm going to walk out of here with these stamped plans.
Let me ask this. Could you have just gone downtown?
To start with?
If you had gone downtown, could you have completed the entire transaction down there?
Yeah, just like I told you 10 minutes ago.
I'm just double checking.
Yeah.
And so why go to Van Nuys this time?
I was...
Are you going with a head of steam to prove a point?
It's interesting. It's interesting that you bring that up. I'd always dealt with Van Nuys.
All the building.
That was just the when I went and pulled the permit.
That's where you did it.
That's where I did it. Yeah. And also, it's not downtown. It's downtown.
No, I get it. So you figure, you had a conversation with yourself. You went, I'm going to where I usually go, and I'm gonna tell this guy
honestly,
to give him a call if he has a problem.
No, you know what? Because it had been, and I say a year, it could have been 2 years later.
Yeah.
I think I just kind of spaced out on it and was just going down to pull a permit.
Right.
For a roof.
All right, fine.
You know, I wasn't thinking about it.
Got it.
And I went down, and that's when it came up again.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I said to the guy, go pick up the phone. And he said, I can't do that. And I said, oh, bullshit. Bullshit, you can't do it. Because the last goddamn time I was out here, I drove downtown, and the first thing out of the guy's mouth was, why didn't he pick up the phone and call me? So don't tell me you can't do it. And as far as the learning curve goes, I go, why don't you try to get better? Why don't you guys try to get better at your jobs? Attempt to get better at what you're doing.
Did you say it like that, or were you friendly? Yeah.
No, I said, I know there's no incentive for you guys to get any better, but why not just do it?
Again, setting the scene, is there a line of guys behind you?
And there's everybody.
So you're having a scene in a public way.
Oh, I told the guy, go pick up that phone, go call him now. Call him now. I'm not going down there. By the way, I don't work for you. Go pick up the phone and do your job. Go get it and do your job. So the guy went and picked up the phone.
Uh-oh.
Well, the first thing he said is, I can't call. I can't do it. And the second, then when I yelled at him, he just magically could do it, you know. So he went and picked up the phone, and he called downtown. And they never picked up the phone. And the guy, at this point, the guy was kind of on his heels, and he said, look, just come back here tomorrow. I'll call him tomorrow. You know, I think it was hovering around 4 or 5 o'clock. It was getting to maybe the guy stopped picking up the phone. He said, just come back here tomorrow morning. I'll call him. We'll take care of this. I said, quote, I said, if I lived on the fucking roof of this building, I would not come down here tomorrow to have you call this guy for something that I already know the outcome to this. I don't need to be here for this. Let's pick it up. Let's do our jobs better. Let's be more efficient. He said, but what do you want? What do you want me to do?
Make a note
and
call.
I said, you're going to make a note call. Well, here was the problem. They needed a check. And I needed the paperwork.
Yeah.
Too. So I said to the guy,
give me the check.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to write you a check. What's tomorrow's date? I'll put that date on it. Then I'm going to give you an envelope. And I'm going to write my address on that envelope. Then tomorrow morning, you're going to call the guy. That guy's going to tell you, fine, go ahead. You're going to hand my check to the cashier, put the paperwork in the envelope, and put it in the mail. That's how we're going to do this. I'm not coming back here again. I have a life to lead. I'm not coming into this place again. And then this guy made a huge mistake. He was like, I don't think we can do that, you know? And then he did
that. Oh, I can imagine you're like, you can't physically put a piece of paper in an envelope? I can imagine.
No, he got fucked. He said to, like, the out-of-central casting, heavy-set woman who was working, like, the cashier, he did the, like, Cheryl, can we take a check post-dated for tomorrow? And she did a, I guess, you know, she just gave a guess or something that's off the cuff. Like those two should have got on the same page, you know, where she went, absolutely not. I was fired from my last job for doing this. She just went, okay. And then I just looked at him and go, well, there you go. And he was like, and he took it all down and I wrote him the check and I left. And 4 days later, I got the fucking paperwork in the mail.
To me, that's a miracle that got to
you. It only happened because
you made
I was a
scene.
Fucking whirling dervish of douche. When that guy, when his mouth started saying, I can't call downtown, it was like coming out of his mouth in slow motion. And my fist started to ball up. And as soon as he was done, I was like, bullshit. Go pick up that phone and call him right now. I'm not going to waste another second with you imbeciles. And he was like, I remember he was semi-new. And I remember his first
younger guy, older guy?
He was a younger guy, and he recognized me from Loveline or something. And he's like, he literally said out loud at some point, he said, you know, something like first month on the job and I'm getting yelled at by Adam Carolla or some version of that. He wasn't douchey about it.
Yeah.
If I'd gotten an old douche, that would have been that.
Hit,
he was, I'm sure by now he's fully douched up and ready to go.
If he meets another whirling dervish of douche.
dervish of douche. So that was him, and that was me, and that's my 95.5 thing.
It.
I can't stand the people that will have you take 3 hours of your time for 5 minutes of their time.
You know what takes almost no time, though, is to sign up for a little security.
Ah, LifeLock, baby. Identity thieves, man. They're shrewd. They're targeting your checking account, savings account, cash, retirement, man. They're coming after you, baby. You can avoid them. Tell you how, LifeLock, identity thieves are all over the place. Who knows? They may live amongst us.
Well, but the point is that we have now new technologies for which we need to have insurance. We need to protect ourselves.
That's right. This is part of doing business in 2014. LifeLock Ultimate, the most comprehensive ID theft protection ever created, guards your identity, your credit, even monitors your bank accounts for takeover fraud. Ooh. Awarded best detection among ID protection programs. Drew.
LifeLock services can't protect you or your bank accounts if you're not a member. Visit LifeLock.com and enter promo code Drew, D-R-E-W, for our special 10% discount, 10% off. That's promo code Drew at LifeLock.com to get our special 10% discount, LifeLock.com. And network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
So here's my question for you, Drew.
Yeah.
I need some clarity, man.
Yeah. Dig.
So we're eating lunch.
Brunch?
Brunch and lunch. And, you know, well, with the time change, to be fair, it's probably 2 p.m. Yeah. And we're sitting there, and I'm looking at a table across, you know, a few tables down. There's an adult child with sort of Down syndrome or something. Guy looks to be 30, maybe 35,
yeah.
Clearly has Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And seems pretty functional, sitting there eating and with what must be his mom, 55-year-old woman. And, you know, it's brunch. She's having a couple glasses of Chardonnay.
Ooh.
No.
Now, I got to tell you, what would have gone through my mind is 50 with a 30-year-old.
Look, it's Down syndrome. He could have been 22, she could have been 61. I don't know what the fuck she
just,
was.
I'm just thinking the age women that gets Down syndrome.
You can't tell what Down syndrome. The age is almost like they're black women. You just can't tell. You have no fucking idea. You don't know. So I'm staring at her, and I'm not staring at her. She's sitting the wrong direction and five tables away. But
you're looking at her. You're examining.
Heads on a swivel.
Yeah, you're examining.
And she's had a couple glasses of Chardonnay.
Yeah.
And I know it's coming in a wine glass. It's that yellowish color. It couldn't be anything else.
Yeah.
He's, he's drinking a soda pop,
yeah.
Iced tea, whatever it was. And then I thought to myself, I've never seen anyone who's retarded or with Down syndrome or anything.
Drinking.
I never see a beer in their hand.
Yeah.
Never.
Isn't that interesting?
Never. And then I thought, if I had Down syndrome, all I would do is drink. Because first off, where are you going Monday?
Maybe you do.
What I'm saying is, where do you got to be Monday morning? How dare you? Do you have to be at the, symposium over at JPL? Like early Monday morning with a clear head?
Yeah, why not become an alcoholic?
Why not?
Why not become a drug addict?
It's 2 p.m. It's fucking Sunday. You're going home to do what?
Yeah.
Watch Ben 10? You know what I'm saying? It's a TV show. Point is why not have a glass of wine? This to me, you're not operating heavy machinery. You're not the designated driver. Why not some booze? Doesn't seem to exist. And then I realize Yummy Face.
Oh, they're stuck in Yummy.
Stuck in Yummy.
Yeah.
This guy, well, chronologically 31,
yeah,
is probably 9, and 9-year-olds don't like the taste of a cold one.
Now, they're often a little overweight, too. I wonder if that has something to do with it. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what their reward centers are responding to, yummy only.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're overweight mostly, or oftentimes overweight, because they have the metabolism of a 40-year-old, yeah, but the palate of a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
You'd be overweight, too, if you were eating pancakes that were shaped like Mickey Mouse's head, you know?
Yeah.
My kids eat like 7-year-olds, and then they go to the backyard and run in a circle for 2 hours.
Yes.
Or their metabolism just kicks it through them, you know?
Right, they're building.
But you have a mentality or a metabolism of an older person with the taste buds of a younger person.
Yeah, yeah, it's very interesting. I wonder if something about the genetics and biology of Downs obviates the genetic mechanisms of addiction.
Well,
overrides, not born
you,
with.
Have you ever treated
anybody? Never. Or is it something about
powerful?
Waiting to later in life. Now, the later in life moms are more likely to have Down's kids. Are those less likely to be alcoholic moms? Well, judging by your woman at the brunch, not so much.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with that component. I think it, and look, there could be a sprinkling, it could be a cluster of things. But my feeling is they are emotionally.
I get it.
Yeah, anywhere. Yeah. And they want what tastes good. And beer but brandy do not taste good.
But they also must not have the same distress that initiates the using of substances for some reason.
The distress.
Yeah. They don't feel. To me, this means there's something going on in their insular cortex and something wrong with their medial forebrain bundle. Something
That's what
different
I was
there.
Saying to Lynette.
Yeah. Right.
At the table.
No doubt.
Yeah. No.
Did Sonny respond? Do you have a theory?
What you're saying. Yeah. More bacon was his theory. what you're saying is not only do they not enjoy it or the flavor, the taste or the whatever, but they're not going through a long day of stressful, whatever.
They're just not set up for it. In other words, there's a part of your brain that sets up a misery part of your brain called the insular cortex.
Right.
That if you have pain, what makes the pain miserable is when your insular cortex fires off.
Right.
They don't have a lot of misery.
Right.
And then they also don't get the same reward. They don't get the same reinforcement from these substances. So there's not the do it and then do it again piece that people get with addiction.
Right. So when I have the... I got to fly out to Detroit and do a show, that night at a casino and then do a bunch of signings afterward. And then I'm going to fly to Chicago the next morning and do 2 shows and a Mangria signing. I'm walking through LAX going, I'm going to plop myself down at this fucking bar and have a beer.
Right.
Because I'm miserable.
Yeah.
I want some beer.
I want beer when I'm around you that way.
Yeah.
Your insular cortex affects mine.
Thank you. That's going to be good for me. So they don't have, because their thing is I don't got anything on the docket today.
Well, you keep putting it in the context of the kind of life they're living. I'm saying that their brain may just not be wired for misery.
Well, that's true too, and maybe it's both. They don't that, big presentation to give.
Yeah, yeah.
Monday morning, and they're not in a ball of nerves about it Sunday night, and can't get to bed Sunday night thinking about this presentation that they're going to have to give and all that kind of stuff.
But I swear
to
God,
also may not just be wired that way,
right? And even a Downs patient could have their stresses reduced further if they adopted Stamps.com.
Oh, for sure,
because everyone's less.
That's what this guy was thinking. I mean, we didn't openly have a conversation about it, but I could read
it
on
tell.
His face. Yeah.
So you don't have to go to the post office anymore. You can buy and print discounted stamps, shipping labels, more on your own computer and printer. Save up to 80% compared to postage
Woo!
Meter. No trip to the post office. Again, no steely glares, no bureaucracy, none of the crap that Adam has to go through. It's ridiculous. We have a special offer. You enter the promo code ADS for a no-risk trial. It's a $110 bonus. Includes a digital scale, so you can weigh whatever it is you're sending and determine the precise amount on that postage, and then print that postage out on your printer, and then get that postage, $55 of it, for free. That's part of our special offer, $55 free postage. So go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS, that is stamps.com, promo code ADS.
Yeah, baby. All right. But interesting, right? So you've
never
treated, and you think, By the way, you know, you are set up to get into the alcohol cabinet because plenty of time at home. And
well, you would think they'd have a miserable life, right? You think that you would project as an adult, you'd project onto that. Well, that must be kind of miserable. That's, you know.
Yeah, I know enough. I mean, I've been around enough to not do that projection.
Yeah,
like I understand that most people with that condition in general seem to be in a better mood than most others. Most people I know.
I suppose that's another potential theory, which is their affect is somehow brighter. They're just happier somehow.
Yeah, because they're not getting pulled a whole bunch of...
That's your projection.
Well, look,
I'm sure
if
biologically happier.
Fucking had them sued by patent trolls, I could make them miserable.
Yeah, if you like...
I'd like to do that. It'd be a good reality show. Adam makes people with Down syndrome miserable. They keep telling me what a good mood they're in, and I keep explaining them how they should be miserable. Yes. Well, it's a very good example of we think... that we're going to be the gatekeeper of misery. We do the same thing in politics. Uh-huh. You know, no, this sort of, you know, this bullshit all the time of, you know, these people, these, you know, the 99% who can't get a foothold and can't get ahead, they're not miserable. I don't think they're miserable.
I really don't. Yeah,
I think Rich Whitey and
sometimes more miserable
politicians have grafted that onto them.
Yeah.
When I was poor, I wasn't miserable. I wish I had money, but I wasn't unhappy. I had plenty of good times. I had plenty of friends. I got much more enjoyment out of a large cheese pizza than I could than I would out of a Ferrari today.
That's interesting, right?
Back in the day. I showed up to a party and there was a bunch of pizzas and some beer. My fucking day was made. I mean, when I went to a wedding and there was an open bar
with
surf and turf.
Used to be a fun dude.
Did you say fondue? No, there were simple.
Just thinking of food.
No, there were
and
simple.
Cheese.
Well, look, I'll put
fondue.
You. I'll put you. Look, I used to go out and play, you know. Once every 6 months, hey, poker night with the buddies. Yeah. Everyone would bring their sack of change.
Yeah.
You know, everyone had their mason jar, their pillowcase, or whatever it is. There'd end up being $42 worth of quarters and nickels in there, you know?
Yeah.
And we'd end up playing poker. And if I walked out of there with $118 versus the $41 I brought, I was fucking happy when I drove home.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Somebody, think about this. Just think about this, Drew.
Yeah, dig.
Yeah. Dig.
Okay.
Way back in the day, somebody gave me tickets to a concert.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I got free tickets to Kenny Loggins at the Forum.
Loggins and Messina.
And Messina. Both. Together in the Forum. I mean, seriously, free tickets to a show? Now you hand me free tickets. Hey, you want to? I get shit all the time. Hey, come on down and watch the IndyCar race. Sit up in the luxury booth. All the food and booze you want. Mario Andretti will take you around the track once in the twin seat F1 car. And I'm like, it's Sunday. I'm working every weekend. I just want to relax. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, what was a victory? Look, first time I ever got reviewed. LA Weekly, little square 3x3. Sitting in the back, whoo, there's my name.
Yeah.
And the LA Weekly, my name, in print. Now I do this Catch a Contractor show. They write up a thing in the New York Times. Somebody gave it to me a week ago or told me to look at it online.
You couldn't give a shit.
I haven't read it.
I know, I'm sure.
Somebody gave someone the hard copy. The only part, my biggest problem is trying to pretend to the person when they go, oh, I'm sure you've read this before, or here's a hard copy so you can keep it for your scrapbook. I go, oh, thank you very much. Not one word.
No, but it's
not interested at
all. It exposes an important and interesting psychological principle that humans follow, which is one is our happiness tends to revert to a mean no matter what the circumstances we're in.
Right, meaning the mean. It's like we find a buoyancy. No matter what.
No matter what the circumstance.
Of whatever it is. Well, we've talked about it. with drug use.
Well, you start
taking one Percocet. Oh, my God, you're jacked out of your mind. Well, eventually, after 128 Percocets.
It's a slightly different principle, but I think the more vivid example would be somebody who is like quadriplegic. Mm-hmm. They're unhappy for a while, and then they revert back to their whatever their baseline happiness is.
Well,
they
don't stay miserable. For shitting on my point, but what I'm saying is, as it pertains to the mean, which is
yes,
your body is looking for that place where it's equilibrium, and it is kind of where it is.
Your point is well taken.
And that's where you get to 100 Vicodin a day.
That's right, and it's also why you revert back to probably a similar phenomenon that sends you back to whatever your baseline happiness is, almost no matter what your circumstance is, which is crazy. You look at people, how do they survive? How do they deal with that? And there's this mechanism where we tend to revert.
Right. So you see the person with Down syndrome or the quadriplegic, and you go, oh, my God, I would be so miserable. Yeah. I would kill myself.
Yeah.
I would just kill myself.
Yes.
I couldn't kill myself. I'd have someone kill me because I was a quadriplegic, you know, and put a fucking hefty bag on my head. I'd get a dear friend to do that. And then you think, no, you will revert back to your mean.
Well, what's weird is you think, well, I guess you just learn to live with it. But no, you actually revert to the same happiness level that you had happiness. And again, I take issue with some of that literature because how we measure happiness is sort of flawed. But the other thing that the point that you're bringing up here, which is that you get used to, and it's a similar phenomenon, you get accustomed to just about everything. Like whatever situation you're in is just your baseline.
You have to, by the way, you have to for bad. And you have to for good.
Right, but
you can't walk in and be overwhelmed. I couldn't walk into this studio and go, oh, my God, oh, my, I built this. Look at this. Yeah. Look at this. Who's the Asian guy?
Right.
I pay him. What the fuck? What's going on?
Is he really Asian?
I don't know.
Whatever, the suspect.
It's unclear.
Suspect.
It's Johnny Quest, troublemaker.
Right.
The point is this. No, I have to walk in and be business as usual.
Yeah.
Or I would freak. Now, so back to my 99%. The politicians have decided all those people are miserable.
Yeah.
And they can't get a leg up. And it's really kind of arrogant that they would graft that onto them.
Yeah.
Okay. The guy, first off, has 2-3 plasma TV sets in his modest home. He has cable or satellite. He has a car, too, with air conditioning, and he makes $47,000 a year. Maybe he's quite happy. Maybe he loves his kids. Maybe he gets a fucking ton of satisfaction and pride off of coaching his son's Little League team, where he is not compensated on the weekends. And then the Wednesday night practice, where he gets to work with everybody and show them the skills that he learned when he played Little League. I mean, and then once a year, for 3 days, the family goes to Catalina, and that's a big deal. Now, you scoff at that. Well, Catalina. Oh, we're touring the Panama Canal.
I'd love the time to go to Panama.
But the point is, look, for yearly family vacation, but that's a big deal to them. That's a big deal. They're enjoying themselves. It's not the south of France. To them, it is. What's the difference? Why do we have to take pity on that guy? There's plenty of people.
It's the arrogance of those that empower and that have. They're like, well, I would be miserable. Well,
Oh, the guy's got to fly commercial, or
yeah, that's their bullshit.
Got to fly Southwest, or he doesn't have a heated garage. What? He's got to park on the street. What? That doesn't make you miserable.
It's arrogance.
No, I honestly think the times when I was younger and sort of carefree, so to speak, were funner times. In terms of fun or general happiness, now there's more responsibility, there's more duties to fulfill, there's more people that are disappointed and stuff like that. It's a more interesting life now. It's a more, maybe a more satisfying life in a lot of ways, but it sure as fuck ain't any fun.
Right.
All right. On that happy note, quick break, right back after this.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, you get to find out everything you want to know about daylight savings time and how it relates to The Little Princess with Shirley Temple. Believe me, it does. Listen for free through iTunes or visit LarryMillerPodcast.com.
Yeah, get it on, baby. Thanks for rejoining us. Appreciate it. Yeah, happiness, Drew.
Oh, it's a whole thing. It's complicated.
I love your means thing, and I also do remember just the crazy satisfaction. I'll give you just, I don't know why, just popped in my head. Getting a new set of tires for my car. It was a big deal. And it was like a satisfying moment, you know? I literally would be happy for the next couple days.
Hey, Mr. Fat Cat, I still feel that way.
No, shut up. You don't, you're not, look, new set of tires for your car is not any reason for celebration, Dilweed.
It feels very satisfying. Yeah.
No, I know, but you're not walking around, you're not
admiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not walking on sunshine for the next 2 days. I mean, for me, back in the day, a new set of tires on the car, and it's like for the next week when I would open my front door and walk out to the car and the driver, I'd go, whoa, look at those new fucking shoes on that bad boy. Look at those tires.
I get it.
Yeah, you get it. All right, speaking of that, I noticed a little gouge on the side of your car.
Yeah.
I don't know how recent that was.
That's 2 months.
I guess the way you park and somebody parked next to you or something. I haven't seen it because I haven't been up on your car in a while. But
it's way worse than somebody parking next to me.
No. What I'm saying is, I know I pride myself on catching everyone's car dings the first day they happen.
Yeah.
I did not notice that one. But what happened to you?
At my office where I practice medicine, it's a parking lot with a series of posts.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And didn't have the dignity to wrap them with bad burnt orange shag carpet.
No, just a nice sharp edge.
It's a stuccoed edge.
Cement.
Oh,
cement posts. And so the I'm doing my back end thing as somebody whips into the parking lot and starts to I don't remember what she was doing, but it made me like kind of get out of her way, backed right into those posts. I know she started backing up into me, and I was like, I'm gonna get crushed here. So I just backed into a post.
One of the just staples of my childhood was the apartment building that had the pilaster, cement pole, or whatever we would call it, caisson, whatever. But it being the back of the park of the apartment. The apartment would have a long driveway, and then in the back there'd be the parking spaces. And the apartment would cantilever over the parking spaces.
Right, that's what this is.
And because it would cantilever over the parking spaces, they would have posts going
down. And to be fair, these are the apartment structures that got crushed in the Northridge earthquake. They just fell over.
Right, because all of those posts were masonry and they all just crushed. And then the building fell over.
Yeah.
But they would always take those posts and wrap them with that. Drew, we always talk about burnt orange, but do you know that really shitty shag green that they had in the 70s? And it was always one of the units would get their part, would get the, you know, every 17 years, they'd take a unit and they'd pull up all the carpet. And instead of pulling up all the carpet and throwing it away,
they would wrap it around
that post.
It's such a good looking move, too.
Sweet.
That kind of shit kind of defined the valley in the 70s and 80s, didn't it?
It did. And they'd put some duct tape around it. And also, not only those, they would take those cement pilasters and they would stucco them. Mm. So there's nothing that would inflict more damage to either your bare skin as you're running past one of them or the side of your car than that super grainy, rocky 70s stucco.
Ugh. Duh.
I tell you, 70s. That's my gay porn name, Rocky Stucco. Who are you working with? Rocky Stucco.
Stucco Rocky.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got some phone calls here, Dr. Drew.
DraftKings first.
All right. Yeah. listeners winning huge money at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-day fantasy sports, college, pro basketball, baseball, even golf. DraftKings, man. Huge cash prizes this month during March Millions. A guy named James Tran. Could be Tron. I'm going to go with Tran. Anyway, won $1 million in one day.
Wow.
Yeah. Spread that over a lifetime.
Huh.
$1 million a day times, you know, 365. To 365 times 80.
He's a billionaire.
Huh. I mean, I don't know if he wins every day.
Even probably half the time.
Yeah, probably days where he just makes like 500 grand. Either way, that's a ton of dough. No season-long commitments, no being stuck with players, just instant cash, instant gratification.
Right now, you can play for free to win real cash at DraftKings.com. Up to $200 million. Pick any sport like college basketball. The madness has already started, and free spots are going quick. Enter Drew at DraftKings.com before Friday for free entry. That is Drew at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
All right, Grant.
Hey, guys.
Oh. You don't want to talk to Grant?
I want to talk to Clay. That's a fascinating. Hang a second, Grant.
Where's Clay?
In three.
I miss guys named Clay. Clay?
Hi.
19.
Hey. Yeah.
Who else is named? Who else is named Clay in your family?
No one.
Hold on.
19-year-old Clay.
No Grandpa Clay?
Nope.
What's your dad's name? Plato? like the philosopher, but it'd be funny. What's your dad's name?
Richard.
Aha! Nothing. Nobody named Clay. What's the story of your name?
I don't know. I don't know what the story of my name is.
There's nobody under 20 named Clay.
Right, it's Clayton, right?
No, it's just Clay.
What?
It's a Midwest name. It's not that uncommon here.
It's uncommon under 20. Right?
All right.
All right, anyway.
Anyway.
It's not a biblical name, as they say.
All right. What's going on?
I wanted to ask Drew about his son going to Australia.
Yeah.
And Adam called you out and asked, you know that there's no studying going to happen on that trip. And you said you were okay with that. And I was wondering, because if I asked my parents to subsidize my party vacation in Australia, they'd just laugh at me. So I'm curious why you're okay with it.
There's a couple reasons. First of all, he's 21. You know what I mean? He can do whatever he wants. That's on him.
It's on your wallet.
Well, it's the tuition that's already in. It's school. The whole thing is covered by tuition. We had to pay for a plane.
Well, you pay for the tuition.
Yeah, pay the tuition, right. The other thing, and this is the bigger part of it.
Double standard, Drew.
No, hold on.
You wouldn't go for this with your daughter.
No, she could. I have a beat. I take a beat, but I go for it. Just saying. But here's the deal. This kid works his freaking ass off. He is in like outer. I talked to a physics professor at Caltech about the math he was doing. And the professor looked at me and went, "Oh no, that's." That's game on. That's way out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so my thing is, hey, the guy's been killing himself. He already has plans for his academic schedule for his senior year. He needs a little vacation and wants to have at it. Have at it.
Drew, I don't judge because that's impossible. But Drew feels, and I think has always been pretty clear with this, and maybe it would surprise people, this is where he comes from. But I think he feels it's important for a young man and a young woman to a lesser extent, but a young man to go out there and see life, see some ladies,
sow
his oats.
Absolutely.
Go travel around a little bit, get it out of your system.
Absolutely.
And then when you meet Mrs. Wright at 29, you're ready.
And you don't. I have no patience with the 45-year-old going, oh, you know, I've got a little money now. I got a nice car. Oh, these women are looking at me. I wish I didn't really do anything when I was 19 and 20. And then he fucks up an entire family because of that. That I have no patience with that.
See, Drew is fine with you purging a little jizz out of your system at an early age, doing a little been there and done that, and then being ready to settle down, knowing that you've been around the block a couple times.
Does that make sense? Clay?
Yep.
All right.
All right, Clay.
So have courage when you approach your parents.
Yes. All right.
All right, now Grant.
Grant from Utah. Grant, 34. Hey. What's going on, man?
Big fan, guys.
Thanks, babe. What's going on?
My problem is I've got 2 kids, 7 and 8, and they are literally pissing my money away.
You know,
it's like pull-ups and stuff. They are wet in the bed in the way of like pull-ups and basically diapers. And I'm just wondering if there's anything I can do to get them to, like, you know, shape up and stop wetting the bed. I mean, my older daughter had no problem about, you know, 5 or 6 years old. She's, you know, done with that. And
I guess the boys do it a little longer.
Well, but one question I have to ask before Adam gets into his behavioral solution, the Corolla method, is there something change in the household? Is there fighting, divorce, chaos?
No, everything's fine. I mean, we moved to a different house just last year, but the problem's been going on before that.
Yeah.
Nothing that I can think of.
Did anybody in the family wet beds late, out of curiosity?
My wife's sister did tell she was like in junior high, but that's the only person we can think of.
Wow. Interesting, right?
That's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
I went through this myself. It was rectified by the old world Jew, Laszlo Gorog, who would wake me up after watching the Johnny Carson Tonight Show when I would sleep at his house. Coming from a semi-broken family, there were many nights where we slept at our grandparents' house. It was win-win-win all the way around. I don't think my mom felt like having anyone. My mom's number one goal in life is nothing. Like she doesn't want to have anyone go, where's breakfast or what's going on or can you give me a ride somewhere? So her whole thing is dropping the kids off at the grandparents' house was the greatest. That she wasn't free to then go out. She was free to stay in.
To do nothing.
And do nothing. Okay. My dad liked nothing arguably as much as my mom. Their biggest fear in life is just having someone ask them to do something or give them money or give them a ride or do whatever kids do with parents. You know, they ask, hey, I want this, I need that. Yeah. And their thing was like, nah, I want nothing. I want to be left alone.
Yeah.
So they would drop us off and it was fine with us because my grandfather cooked. So for me, it's like I had to hang out with the old people, but I got the goulash, you know.
Yeah.
So that was fine with me. And then I slept on the sofa because they had a one bedroom. And grandpa would wake me up, kept a bucket. Make a little noise, like old Jews make. Wake me up, middle of the night, be sleeping next to my sister on this long sofa thing they had, and it was like a sectional thing, and they just like, and I'd get up, drop my drawers, fill this bucket halfway, set it right back down, boom, right back down. Never wet the bed again. Well, of course I didn't. I'd go to bed at 8:30 or 9 o'clock at 12:30, come wake me up, I'd empty my bladder. That would be that. So when my son kept wetting his bed and, you know, I get this thing and Drew, that's how you cure it. Now, I don't know how or why people are wired this way, but, you know, now it's flash forward. I'm the dad.
Yeah.
And I have a son who's wetting the bed. He's 6, 7 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, the nanny and my wife are wringing their hands. Got to take the mattress apart and take the bedding down and flip the thing over. And blah, 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 blah. And I go, listen, here's what you do. Put a bucket. You know, first thing I said was, just get one of those little egg timers that I use, the kitchen timer that I use. I don't know. It goes to bed at 9, click, click, set it for 2 hours. And then it'll ring in 2 hours. And when it goes off in 2 hours, he'll get up and go to the bathroom. Yeah, it's dark. He's disoriented. Oh. He's not going to find the bathroom.
Then the bucket.
I said, okay, put a bucket in his bedroom and then set the thing for 3 hours. And if you get up and the bed's wet, then, you know, next night, set it for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then the little alarm's at the size of a book of matches. Put it by his head. It'll go off and then he'll get up. Finish, you know, clear himself into the bucket, set it aside, go back to bed. And the next day, it's his job to dump it in the toilet, rinse it off, whatever. Yeah, it's dark. Well, okay, leave the light on. I got to put it on a dimmer. Just leave it dim. Put the thing. That alarm's not going to wake him up. I said, look, he's going to get up. He's going to be disoriented. I said, okay, it's going to take 3 nights or 4 nights or maybe a week to do this. And then it'll be done. And every night he'll go to bed. You'll set the timer for 3 hours. He'll get up. He'll do his thing in his bucket. He'll empty it out. It's going to scare him when it goes. I do what I always do. Okay, have fun flipping the mattress and changing the sheets. I'll be over in the den with smart people, just having a conversation. I'm glad. Good. Repel everything. Fine. Have fun.
Yeah.
Change the sheets.
Did they adopt it?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Change the sheets.
It's a good strategy. And a lot of bedwetting.
Hold on, Drew. What do I know?
Yeah, I know.
What do I know?
I know.
What do I know? Why listen to me? Why would I?
A lot of bedwetting
is just...
Why
would I have any insights at all?
Is mechanical.
Why do?
A lot of the treatments involve taking
no.
stuff at bedtime that reduces your urine production and the mechanical things like this and behavioral things like that.
I have 3 of these egg timers and 5 buckets sitting around the house. Do you want to... Or what?
By the way,
here's the thing. What's the repel?
I know.
What's the push off?
It's like, everything with you. It's everything. What do you know, man?
What do I know? What do I know?
But here's the deal. I thought of you. I was
what
at my urologist.
Do I know,
and
Drew?
I took a picture for you at my urology office.
Really?
What see you here? This is a magical, magical device.
Oh, my God.
The
sunken sink.
It's designed,
a drop sink.
It's designed for a place for men to go pee after they fill the little urine sample.
Ah, you mean like they can't stop their flow or they need to?
You would think people would go to the toilet and finish it. No. They
drop
just fixed
sink.
They just dropped the sink down to groin level.
Well, by the way, when they did my urine sample, when the chick was done with my urine sample, she just simply dumped it in the sink. Because
what? How can they?
It's a sewer. It all goes to the same fucking place, everybody.
But this to me was your bathrooms need this so you can get up and just go pee in the sink. Have your own pee sink. That's what this is.
Thank
Urologists have this.
Genius. Love that guy. I know us. I love BarkBox, baby. BarkBox.com. Speaking of that, Molly made a little tinkle on top of the bed last night.
That's always fun.
Starting to lose it. Yeah. Love that little girl. Love her. Even when she tinkles on the bed. The one good thing about her getting old is she makes these great noises. She just goes, you know, that big dog kind of grunty, just, yeah, I got the monthly BarkBox. Love these guys. 4 to 6 full-size products, innovative, durable toys, leashes, treats, more, all made in the U.S. of A., 100% natural. Elk, caribou, wild boar, other lean, wild meats.
Very lean. Good meats.
Dog fit and healthy. 3-month plans tailored to your dog's size. Committed, by the way. These guys help homeless dogs, not only in the U.S., but in Canada. 10% of the revenue goes to shelters across the U.S. and Canada, and you can save 20%. You love your mutt. You love your mutt like I love the little Molly. What the hell's that border collie of yours? Rex?
Rex.
Rex.
That's insane.
You
it's
love
insane.
Little Rex. Get him that BarkBox. 20% off your new subscription by visiting BarkBox.com/Adam. That's BarkBox.com/Adam. All right. My new book, President Me, available for pre-order. Go through Amazon. You know what to do. Give a little love to the show, man. Give a little love. Show us you love us. How do they show us they love us, Drew?
PayPal.
Ooh.
They can do that. They can do. They can do a click through at Amazon.
Ah,
please do that.
Yeah.
They can and support the people that support us. Go get BarkBox. That sounds good. Go.
Yeah. Sponsors.
Go
PayPal.
Go stamps.com.
All that
There's
stuff.
No reason not to
keep the party going. And Spike, Catch a Contractor, big hit last week. So thanks
reviews.
For that. Keep that party going. Yeah. Except for the one.
What way?
No,
we got to go. We'll talk about it on the air.
All right. All right. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.